Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes.
Hey.
Hey, Caleb.
Hey, Daniel.
What's up?
Not much. I've been in the woods all week, as you mentioned.
Is that why you sound so chill?
I am very chilled out. I've been hanging in the woods, chilling out.
Mellow.
Really mellowing out.
I heard you made a fire with a bow drill.
I did. Friction fire with a bow drill. I've been trying it for a while, and I finally did it. And it's super hard. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was pretty rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my windows open and it's raining outside. And so there's kind of like a, you might hear like what you would think is actually noise, like hissing noise, like maybe bad audio, but actually that's rain. So if you hear
that's
that,
great.
That's rain.
I'm picturing your whole setup right now and I'm just loving it. You got the
very chill
trees right outside, the light coming in from the trees and then the rain outside while you're kicking your feet up on your nice desk with a bazillion monitors.
I have two monitors.
Two really big monitors.
28 inches, yes.
That's a lot of inches.
Anything happen this week in PRs while you were in the woods?
I guess not. Couple little things. There was a request pick. I don't know if you followed that request only, request pick, request all business a while ago. Did you follow any of that?
I did not.
It lived in, I think, Laravel internals or a pull request. I think it lived in a series of pull requests. But basically, there's all these like, there's like request only and then request accept or I don't know. I don't really know. But request intersect and request, basically like all these different request methods, nobody knows how they should behave. Like there's all these arguments on how they should behave and everybody has different opinions. And it kind of like doesn't line up. So anyway, all this crazy discussion. And then I think it was resolved like, okay, when 5.5 comes out, we're just going to make request all behave like one way. So anyway, request all now accepts parameters. So in 5.5, you can do request all, but you can pass in the keys like you would normally pass into only, which is pretty cool. So I like that.
That is nice.
And it makes sense. And there was request pick for a short while. Like a day in pull request land, and then basically the request all satisfies request pick. So,
cool.
So I don't know what the request thing is like in 5.5. I don't know if there's still an only method or how that works, but yeah. So that's kind of cool. And I think that's about it. Somebody's trying to. This may have been closed already, or I don't know, but somebody's trying to get the logic for resolving automatic route model binding put into the model.php class so that any of your models, like your post model, you could just override a method. So in your post model, you could have a method called resolve route binding, and then you could kind of just do whatever you want to it, which is kind of cool, like to have the binding behavior built into the model. I like that.
Talk me through the use case for that.
God, I have no idea. But I think this one might not get pulled in probably because he didn't give a use case. But I would think, okay, so let's say you have a post and you want something done to it before it gets passed into a controller method, you know, with automatic dependency injection. So maybe you want to, I have nothing. I don't know. Maybe you would want to make it, I don't know, decorate it in some way or like return an entirely different class, like a post for dependency injected post class or something. I don't know. I have no clue. But I'm sure there's something cool with it. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's it. That's all. That's all I got.
That's all that happened in pull request land.
That's it. Yeah, so you've been hard at work. You published a package.
Yeah, I've been getting ziggy with it.
Ziggy with it. Yeah, somebody earlier was like, hey, we're just checking out that new package you guys put out. And I said, oh, Jiggy? It's like,
oh.
I think we should call it Jiggy. Jigsaw, Ziggy.
Maybe that'll
come
be the next thing.
Jiggy.
I was telling Matt, I need to make a package called Zupak. Thinking of Ziggy and Zupac.
I like that. Ziggy and Zupac. That's good.
It's not great.
It's pretty good.
I've been banging on that a lot.
Yeah, so that seems to be quite the success.
Living the life of an open source maintainer.
Seriously. All-star status.
Getting issues opened on my things.
Yeah, right.
People want to change the way my code works.
Flashy lifestyle.
Big, fancy lifestyle. People tell me I don't have a license file. I didn't. Now I do.
Okay. All right.
Supposed
so,
to have one.
I don't know. What's the status here since we talked last? What came of people's pull requests and all that?
So it went out. A few major things changed. One thing that's actually really cool. This could actually be a topic if you're interested in this. So I had the way that it works is I had, wrong Git repo. Sorry, it was very confusing. The way that it works, I had a Ziggy service provider which registers a blade directive called routes. Which then returns some PHP, which echoes this script tag. The reason it returns PHP instead of just returning the script tag is because that way it doesn't get cached in the view cache, which is something that we discovered was happening.
Ooh, gotcha. Yep.
So Matt and I sat down and hacked together on like this very fancy thing that like hashed your routes files. Yep. Or no, it hashed your router get routes.
Mm-hmm.
Route collection that it returns.
Okay.
And like after hashing it, like it compared it to the one previous to see if your route file had changed. And if it had, then it cleared the view cache.
And all you had to do was just return like a callback or some sort of PHP something.
We spent an hour on it and we felt pretty smart. Like we're like, well, this is not a good solution, but it is the smartest solution. and we both like went away to end our day. And then Matt sends me a message that's just like, we're so dumb. We're the dumbest. Like, we could have just wrapped it in PHP and everything would have been fine.
Wow.
So anyway, that's what we did.
Good for you.
But anyway, it goes into my Blade Route Generator class, which has a generate class, okay, which basically spits out a script tag full of JavaScript. So it sets the named routes. It now sets the base URL because someone opened an issue that said it would be nice to support like full URLs, including like
yep,
the domain name and stuff.
Right.
Which seems easy at first until you realize that you can actually specify the domain in your routes.
Right.
And that can take parameters as well. So I had to do a little magic to make that work. But it now works. So anyway, it pulls in this whole like JSON object, turns it into a JavaScript object, specifies the base URL. And then it has the route function that like does stuff with all of that information. And what I wanted to do was write some tests on this route function to test that this route function does what I think it does.
Yep.
And more importantly, to test that when I change it, it will still do what it used to do.
Yep.
But I was having a hard time figuring out how to do that. I was like, how do you write JavaScript tests on JavaScript that's generated by PHP? So, I posit to you, what do you think I should have done?
Oh, okay. So, it's a JavaScript test. I mean, it has to be Dusk or something, right? Okay.
It's not Dusk.
What's that?
It's not Dusk.
Not Dusk? Is there a simple answer?
It is a very simple answer.
Okay. So, I'm thinking maybe like DOM crawler and JSON in code. The output from like the script tag or like locate the script tag. All right. If it has to be like, if you can't just test against like what's returned from the blade directive and you have to actually.
Well, you need some JavaScript to throw into one of these JavaScript test frameworks. Right.
Oh, are you testing it in JavaScript?
The JavaScript test framework? The JavaScript works. Yeah.
Okay. So, what is.
Like, I don't just want to test that the function is what I wrote, because that is
right. You want to obvious. Gotcha, yeah.
I want to test that the function does what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So I need to run the function.
Okay.
In JavaScript.
Yep. So maybe, because the function like the test would have to be, Couldn't you just like unit test it? Like, couldn't you just use like Karma or whatever? I get confused mm-hmm. between Jasmine and Karma. You could just. Like,
I ended up using Mocha, but yeah. Okay. Same deal.
Yeah, you could just use some JavaScript unit tester where you stub out a routes JavaScript object and then you just do unit tests on the function.
Uh huh.
Is that right? Is that what you did?
That is what I'm doing. The smart thing to me, here's the problem I kept running into. This is why I felt smart. And Sean Jones helped me a bunch with this. We like sat and talked about all the ways I could have done it.
Okay.
We were very close to like using PHP unit Selenium to do it.
Okay.
Which would have been gross.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, instead what we did is I just took the route function and I took it out of the PHP and I put it in a JavaScript file.
Yep.
And then I just file get contents that JavaScript file into my PHP when I need to return it in PHP.
Okay.
And now it's in a JavaScript file, and so I just put a little export on it.
Nice.
And made it like a module.
Right.
And then I'm just able to like Mocha test it like a standalone JavaScript thing.
I like that.
But the reason I was so nervous before is like I was like, well, I could just duplicate the code twice, have it once in PHP and like once somewhere else to test it. But then, like, what if I forget to update the test? Or what if someone pull requests something and forgets to update the tests and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, anyway, this was the solution. So, I have a JavaScript file getting pulled into my PHP.
That's pretty sweet.
It was. I felt good.
You know? I would feel good about that. Where that's good.
It was like, ooh, all
right. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah, there's a bunch coming down the pike. We've got a couple open issues. We're going to, we haven't figured out whether we're going to whitelist or blacklist routes.
That's what somebody, I was overhearing a conversation and somebody was like, yeah, well, you know, they're comparing it to something that Symfony used to have, and, mm-hmm. but Symfony could whitelist and blacklist routes. So question for you, what is your, you know, when I saw it maybe in an issue or something when somebody was like, well, now you're just making all the routes available to anybody who wants to see them. Mm-hmm. What is your initial thought on something like that?
I would like to say, tell me why that's bad.
Yeah, okay. Right, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, yeah, that seems really bad. And I'm like, then I immediately question myself, like, why do I think that seems bad? Like, what could be bad about that? And then...
Well, it could be bad if you are using security through obscurity.
Yeah, right, right.
Right? If the security of your application depends on no one ever figuring out what your routes are, then it's bad.
Yep, right.
But in that case, you have bigger problems.
Truth. So is the solution to that problem offering whitelisting and blacklisting? And are you kind of averse to offering that right now?
Here, sort of. So the solution to that problem is offering some way to whitelist/blacklist routes.
Okay.
A couple of ways that could go. So Layroot, which is the other project that does this, they add like a middleware to route groups. And so basically like if it has this middleware, it gets included.
Oh, okay.
I don't love that.
Right.
But that is a way that you could solve this problem.
Yep. I would feel better about that if it was to exclude it, which I'm sure exists, but.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
The other way to do it is to have a config file with like an array of of routes that get included or excluded or whatever.
Right.
You could do something with like a separate file that ends up in a route group. Like there's ways that you could do it.
Yep.
Right. But none of them really make me feel very happy. Probably the most likely one right now is the config file.
Really?
But I still don't love that.
Daniel?
Yep.
Okay. I think you might have cut out. The config file. So if you did the config file way, I like the config file way because it's like a package convention, you know, to mm-hmm. publish a config file and then, you know, do that. But what would the keys be that you would be for toggling these routes? Would mm-hmm. it be like their name?
It would be their name, and I'm thinking it would be a regular expression or an array of regular expressions.
Okay.
You know? So basically, you could say, like, anything that starts with posts
right.
gets pulled in, right? Or anything that starts with API gets pulled
in. Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that being doable, and nobody would ever have to know about it.
Yeah, well, they would have to know about it if they wanted to change it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if they cared.
I would say it's off by default.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. By default,
we're just exposing all the routes. And like, if you really need it, like, you can go into this config file, add this thing, and you're gravy.
Yep, totally.
But I'm a little bit averse to publishing a config file. This is my real issue.
Yeah, heard that. But the new, you know, vendor publish thing is that, like, GUI thing, which makes it a little nicer?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, oh, it was Taylor debuted it at Laracon. When you,
did he really?
Yeah, when you vendor publish, it now gives you like a, what do you call that? Like a command line interface. I don't know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives you, it's like, do you want to do this one?
Gooey.
Yes or no. This one, yeah. Yes or no. And you can do that. So,
yeah, that's pretty nice. But still, publishing, like, I just, publishing anything feels kind of bad to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if enough people are like, this is a security concern and it's valid, which it totally could be, like, I don't know. I'm sure they're, whatever. And they just want a whitelist and blacklist and you give them the ability. I think it's fine. As long as it's not, as long as the person who's using it doesn't have to know or care about it. It's just the people who need it, they know, they know to look deeper and figure it out.
Well, that's the thing. I might not even publish a config file. I might just tell you, you can make your own config file. And like, I will search for like, if config Ziggy whatever is set, then do it. Right. And that way I'm not even publishing a config file.
That's,
it's just like,
interesting.
You can optionally create a config file if you want to get fancy.
That's interesting. That is like an interesting attitude to have. Like if you want this thing, you're going to have to work for it. You know, like you're sort of expressing to them that I'm not against that.
Yeah, like I'll document it.
Right, it'll be documented.
Like I'll put a link in my README that says optional config settings or whatever.
Yeah.
And it links to another README file full of all of the gross stuff that I don't want to show in my main README to confuse the poor people.
That is hardcore, my friend.
Right, but it's like, That's the whole point of this thing to me, is like, it just make it small and simple and do one thing nicely.
Yep.
And like, when you start like adding tons of lines of code
for sure.
really custom things, like, and publishing config files.
For sure.
Like, then I don't feel very good.
Yeah, heard that.
I want to feel good.
Yeah, you deserve to feel good.
Thanks, man.
I got a question for you.
Go on.
The Ziggy thing. So, and I might have voiced this to you before, and I totally love Ziggy as is, love it. Just a question. Mm-hmm. So when I use the route helper function in Laravel, I never pass in an ID. I always pass in a model, you know? So if I have route post.show, I pass in a post model because I try as hard as I can to stay away from that implementation detail of the ID, you know?
Sure.
This is that Adam called it like so appropriately referenced the refactoring book, pass through whole object or something. So it's kind of like that, similar. So anyway, I do that, and I can't do that from my understanding of Ziggy. I can't do that with Ziggy, right?
So talk me through it. So you're in JavaScript.
Yep.
And you have like some sort of a JavaScript object that you're going to call a post.
Yes.
Okay. And then you want to just like stick that on your update.
I want to be able to say route. For Ziggy, I want to say route post.show and then pass through my JSON object post.
That would work, but only if the parameter in your route was ID.
Right. So then you'd have to, interesting. Yeah. Which it wouldn't be ID because I would probably call it post. So what if you like... Well, first off, let me just pitch to you the usage, and then you tell me if you like it or you hate it.
But okay.
Like, in JavaScript, do you think it's reasonable to want to be able to pass through a JSON object like you do in PHP with a route helper function?
Okay. In my resource client, you can do that.
Okay, cool. So you could, you know, just check the second parameter for, interesting, because it's already an object.
But any like unused parameters don't break anything. Like if you can throw all the extra parameters onto the object you want.
Right. I want to be able to name it ID or name it post. You know, I want the thing to be named post, whatever you'd call it.
Uh huh.
You know, instead of ID. And so, so then you'd have to build something in. And then the other thing is like, what if your model has...
But on the back end, how am I supposed to know that that post is an ID?
Right. I don't know. Somehow you'd figure it out.
How do I know it's not like a search string or something?
I mean, you would... Okay, here's what you'd have to do. You would have to... You know how, you know the get key method on a model? So, yeah. So you would have to like store each model's key somehow. Yeah, this is getting crazy. I don't know.
Well, no, it's not getting crazy. Here's what it is. It is the resource tool that we want to build.
Okay. Then we will shift gears.
Because what you're... See, what Ziggy does, all Ziggy does is like lets you use the route helper.
Well, sort of. It does, but it doesn't do what I want it to do. It doesn't do it exactly how Laravel's route helper does it right now.
Hmm. Oh, because you can't pass in a post. Because you can't pass in a post. You don't really have a post. That's the thing.
Usually, if I recall, I haven't worked in Vue in a little bit, but if I recall, I usually have a post.
No, but I'm saying it's not really a post. It's a JavaScript post.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, I hit some endpoint. It's not like,
it's not a post that you can pass into route model binding.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's an implementation deal. An implementation detail I don't want to like see at all. The route parameter name, you know?
Yeah. Why don't you just name your things ID then, if they're an ID?
Oh, because then you... Well, then you wouldn't have... Would you have automatic...
Route model binding?
Would you have route model binding?
Yeah. Your post would just be called ID.
No.
But you could type in it. You could just say post ID.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. It's up to you.
I don't want to work for Ziggy. I want Ziggy to work for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Call it ID then. Call it ID. Or you could just do what Adam does and just say pass in ID. Don't type hint it. Post equals first or fail.
Pass ID. ID. Don't type hint it. Yeah, right. He does do that.
Yeah, he doesn't do route model.
What a cowboy.
What a cowboy.
Just when I think... Just when I think I got the right idea, he goes and does something like that.
You see how type hinting is ruining your life here? By demanding type hinting.
Well, he doesn't do that. Does he do that because he doesn't like type hints? I don't think that's the case.
It to avoid type hinting.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I said, he tweeted some screenshot, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. And I responded to it, and I was like, doesn't say anything about route model binding, because he wasn't route model binding.
Right.
And he said... Yeah, I would have, but I didn't want the type hint required or something like that.
I'm guessing he would acknowledge that as fetishism.
It was a joke. Okay. It was a joke, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But I think the whole thing was kind of a joke.
What whole thing?
I think the whole point, and you'd have to ask him, and I guess we can ask him.
The whole type hints thing?
No. I think that whole the whole using find or fail there was like a, see, is it really that bad to say find or fail instead of having a type hint?
Hmm. Maybe. I definitely don't want to see find or fail.
There you go.
Give me that type hint. Give me that model binding.
Yeah.
Leverage that model binding to new up an empty model like I did with that store update thing. That was pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So you got another thing cooking right now.
Yeah. I want to make this resource thing.
Well, outside of the resource thing. I'm still extremely skeptical on the resource thing.
Of course you are.
You got another thing cooking. You got a PR boiling on the boiler.
I'm working on a PR.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it. The only reason I'm doing this PR is because of the resource thing, though. Let's be clear.
Okay.
So what I want to do is I want to get routes. I want to get a list of all of the resources that exist in your app.
Okay.
But resources are low-key actually just route groups in Laravel.
Yep.
And there is no way to get a list of all of the route groups that exist in your app.
Because of that, like, group stack thing?
Because of the group stack thing. So
for the listeners at home, at least for me, like, source diving, the routing system is kind of a mind, like, mind-blowing
melt.
Thing.
A mind melt.
So, basically... Like, there's a couple classes, like route registrar, router, route collection, and they all kind of just pass back and forth to each other, and it gets very confusing, at least for me, about, like, which one is which, and which one is the facade accessor, and all that. So, it's always confusing for me, But anytime I've had to deal with that grouping, the like route group, like you quickly realize that there's no such thing as a route group. Like there's basically these route parameters that when you're inside a route group, the routes that you register, they're like, they know what parameters they need because a route group was defined before it. I can't explain this well, but basically that's kind of the
idea. You define this very well.
Yeah. Okay. So like basically like Laravel keeps a running tally of what attributes are stored in this thing, which is like when you say route group, all these attributes, Laravel's like, okay, the next route you register within this callback, I'm going to assign these attributes to that. And then when we're out of it, we're done, you know? And so when
and then if you have nested routes, right, that's when the stack comes into play. So they have a group stack. So say I have like a group and then I have another group inside that, and then I define a route inside that.
Yeah.
So that route is going to have the attributes of both of its parent groups applied to it. And so the group stack is a place where Taylor stores all of the attributes, and he sort of like flattens them. Every time you go down a level into groups, he basically like merges the attributes. And like if a domain is set, then he overrides the domain of the parent route.
Yep.
Right. And like otherwise he just like merges the arrays.
Right.
So anyway, that is the only concept of groups that exists. It's like an array of attributes that's constantly updated every time you call route group.
Right. Yep. It's this flattened thing.
But there is
thing.
No such concept as a route group.
Right.
There is a route group.php, and it's four static methods, all of which have to do with merging that array.
Yeah. Okay.
So I didn't want to.
Right. Because like that. route group merge, is that a function?
Yep.
Is that that's
yep.
like the biggest one, right? Like this constant.
That's the big one.
Like
and then
everywhere
the
it's like route group merge, route group merge. I'm like, what is this route group merge? And then every time I look at merge and I get confused. So tell me, what is your PR?
My PR takes those four methods and moves them to a new class called route attributes. Then it takes the name, the newly freed up name routegroup.php, and it creates an actual object. This object has an attributes array, and it has a routes attribute called, or it has our new route collection called routes. So basically you have route group attributes and route group routes. Routes is just a route collection of routes that are in this route group. Attributes is all of the like middleware, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so what I'm doing is, instead of doing like this weird merge where like every time a route group is defined, we do all of the science to figure out like how it should merge with the existing route groups.
Yep.
I'm just popping route group objects onto the group stack.
Okay.
Or not popping, pushing. I'm pushing route group objects onto the group stack.
Okay.
And then when you define a route inside of a group, that's when I do all of the magic to like figure out, you know, what method or what parameter should have priority and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
But I'm not doing it constantly. So what this does is this allows me, when I register a route, to have that route be aware of which groups it's inside of.
Yep.
So I can now pass those groups into the route and store them on the route. So now a route has a groups array and a group has a routes array. So route is aware of what groups it's in and group is aware of what routes are inside of it.
Hmm.
And the only reason this works is because I'm storing these groups up to another router array called groups. So there's like a master list of groups that doesn't change depending on where you are in context of your route definitions.
Yep.
And then there's the group stack, which things get pushed and popped onto and off of depending on like what you know,
yep,
callback of route group you're inside of.
Right.
And that's basically it. And so then now I have a router get groups thing that returns a list of groups.
Hmm. So, okay, a couple of my thoughts. First, just for the sake of like having and making it easier to reason about this whole routing system, I think this is a good thing. It seems like a good thing. So I'm with it. But, and there's no but because I'm with it. But like on top of that, I have this question of like, why do you want route groups? And then so you said you want route groups because route resources are just route groups.
Right.
So it sounds like maybe you want to attack the resource thing, right? Like the route groups thing.
But I can't attack that until I attack groups.
Okay. And then after that, you could still attack that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I could just, like, you could literally just add, like, a Boolean is resource to a group. Or you could have, okay, like, a resource name attribute
so what
add
is
to a
the
group.
Problem? Like, why is this a problem? Like, the way things are right now, what is the problem? What is stopping you from doing something with resources?
So I want to know, basically, what, even if I haven't defined them using route resource, right? If I have route groups that include only resource methods.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to call that a resource.
Wow.
Right? So say I have a route group that has... I'm not going to do it in his code. I'm going to do it in my own code.
Okay.
But if I have a route group that has, like, a, you know, a show and an update method.
Right, yep.
And no other methods in that route group.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, and it's called post.
Okay.
Then I'm going to call that a post resource.
Yep.
Similarly, if I have something with API resource or resource that is created that's called comment, I'm going to call that a resource as well.
Hmm.
And so I should be able to, by filtering router get groups, I should be able to determine what resources exist in my app.
Okay. Yeah.
And once I've done that, I can pass them down. And because I have access to a resource client and I know how resource routes are structured and I know, you know, what types of parameters resource methods on controllers take, I can basically build, like, auto wire all of that stuff that you're talking about like wanting to pass in a post into something and all of that.
Right.
I can build that into JavaScript where I can just have, like, the concept of these resources as, like, fully qualified objects in JavaScript, right? The reason I say you don't have a post in JavaScript, you have a JavaScript post, is because there's no way to, like, auto wire that post into a Laravel post, right? So what we need is, like, all of the auto wiring that says, like, oh, you're a resource. I know how resources behave. Here's your name. So I can look up what model you are. And, like, here's all the methods that are on your resource controller and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little lost. I
That's fine.
Yeah. I think I would need to see, like, the implementation of it. I guess I...
Yeah. Well, I don't have it totally there.
Right.
So let me be clear. This is not, like, a fully thought out magical wonderland
right.
yet. But I do know there's a few things that I definitely want.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, like, I want to say, like, posts equals resource posts. And then I want to be able to say something along the lines of, like, you know, posts index and then just get the collection. Or, you know, posts.
Are you talking in JavaScript right now?
Like, yeah, I'm talking in JavaScript.
Okay.
And so it includes knowledge of all of the resources that exist. And then hopefully their relationships, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But mainly knowledge of all the resources that exist with that resource client that I have. So it's like a combination of that resource client I built with Ziggy, where if Ziggy, instead of returning just named routes, returned resource grouped routes.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Sort of. Yeah, I do. I think I would just need to see, like, the problem, like, why things can't be auto-wired right now. But yeah, I don't know. I get a little excited ever when you talk about this resource stuff in JavaScript, like, not having to ever worry about, like, endpoints and things like that. That's yeah, pretty dope. That's the key. Like, not having to know endpoints.
Well, okay, and, like, here's the dirty little secret. GraphQL.
Yeah, right.
All of this is not as good as GraphQL.
Okay.
And so while I am really excited about, like, all of these, like, RESTful resource endpoints in Laravel and JavaScript and, like, working together on those two things, like, that's all really cool. And, like, you know, I hope people start doing that instead of doing, like, Axios calls in
right.
their React components or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, all of this is going to be completely obliterated by GraphQL. Like, there are no endpoints anymore. There's just an API. Like, everything is just, like, the API knows all. The API understands the relationships.
Wow.
But it's crazy.
Next episode, you should pitch to me GraphQL. I don't know much about
we'll
it.
We'll do. It's crazy. So, like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm building this thing mostly because I don't think Laravel people are going to use GraphQL for a long time, mostly because they're so wedded to Vue, and the Vue world isn't as into GraphQL as the React world is.
Okay.
But, like, GraphQL is the thing, dude.
All right.
And, like, someone needs to build, like, a really good Laravel implementation. I've seen some implementations that are okay, but they're not, like, super pretty.
Okay.
But it could take over the world, and, like, REST could be gone.
Yeah. It anyway. Sounds cool.
It's super cool.
I actually just remembered that I have a topic at some point. Have you ever heard of the state pattern? Not the state. Not the state pattern. It's like it started as like a Ruby gem, a Rails gem called state machine. But You know what? I'm just going to stop. We'll talk about it next time.
Topic.
It's
next
pretty
time.
Sweet. I'm pretty pumped about it. There's already Laravel packages, but I want to make my own. Anyway, cool. Can I pitch you a string helper, or do we got to go?
You have less than 1 minute and 30 seconds. Go.
Okay. String helper. So you know the common pattern that is our trim, when you pass in the path, and then you pass in a slash, and then you concatenate on a slash at the end. What that does is it normalizes the path to always have a slash at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Have you seen that before?
Yes, like, we had it in Ziggy.
Okay, you see this R trim business all over the place, and L trim for like
right trim,
prefixing.
Left trim.
Yeah, but mostly, most times I see it, it's the right trim in the context of a path, right? So I was like, this is a pattern. I want to see if they're like, I would love to. I think I tweeted this. Like, I want to do like a PR. This is a string helper, but I can't think of a good name. So there's already string starts with, which is like, does this string start with? So I was like, well, it could be string start with, but that would be lame because it's super close to that. So a couple other, I'm probably like stepping on other people because other people probably
it's
recommended
force,
this stuff.
Force prefix or force suffix.
That's not bad. That's
string
not bad.
String force prefix, string force suffix.
That's not bad. I actually.
Unless you want to say ensure.
Right. Prefix, so I don't want to say suffix. Ensure because it sounds so like, yeah, like it sounds so like spineless, you know? But I like it. Ensure is what I'm after. Here's what I came up with. Let me know. This is just for the R trim. What do you think about a method called tail? So a helper function called tail, you just pass in path and then you pass in the tail.
Makes me think that you're going to output the log.
Damn it. Can I say damn it? I was so pumped about this. I was like, tail, that's it. I was so excited. And, not long after I thought, you know, I'm still excited about it, honestly, but I feel like it's just not going to get past everybody else who's going to be complaining that tail is a common bash
but if it's
command.
String underscore tail.
Well, so that was, yeah. What do you think about string underscore tail? The problem with string underscore tail.
I like it if you also add string underscore head so that there's not a second.
Right, but then it's like string underscore head. What is head? It seems more. I don't like string underscore head, so maybe string underscore tail should just never be.
I like string head.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like
string
there's
head, string tail.
I feel like head is such a common word used in the context of strings or like headers, head, like head of a body, head of like a piece of text. I don't know. A part of me just feels like it's doesn't like string tail tells you what it does. String head doesn't tell you what it does unless you know that string tail exists. You know what I'm saying?
String mouth.
I started going down that road. I'm like, well, what's the opposite of a tail? String nose. Yeah, I stopped that. So I don't know. String tail's pretty sweet though, right?
String forked hissy lizard tongue.
That's
every string is a Komodo dragon.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So I don't know.
40-minute episode. How you feel about this 40-minute episode you just did?
Well, I feel like we had to really, really, really bring it back to the string helper functions.
String helpers, that is our core competency here.
Exactly.
At 20% of that.
I felt
podcast.
Like we were getting a little too deep and we needed to just come up.
Like,
for
what
air.
Is this? What is this router you're talking about?
Yeah.
Can we make some string
helpers? Yeah, let's keep talking about. Yeah. All right. 40 minutes, huh?
40 minutes. This is a 42, really. This is a new world for us.
Oh.
Oof.
Oh. Seriously.
Bingo. Well, you think they're ever going to say that it was too
Stop
long?
Us?
They never do. They never do so far.
Nobody, like, not one person has hinted.
They're always like, just keep going.
Should we do 50? No, we can't do 50.
I don't think. I'm do you have anything to say?
I have nothing to say.
I literally have nothing to say.
We could come up with something, though. You know?
I feel like we could.
I don't know.
Got nothing.
40 minutes.
Got nothing.
Bingo, no bingo.
Config files. No one likes config files.
Nobody likes... We could, you know what I want to do one of these times? I want to talk about feelings. I just want to talk about... I do.
Let's talk about it.
I want to talk about feelings.
We got eight minutes until we're at 50, so go ahead and talk about your feelings.
Until you're... Wait, what? You just cut out for a second.
Until we hit 50 minutes.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if we should do 50, but let's just tease the next episode. I feel like we need to just talk about our feelings towards different parts of Laravel and code. You know?
The episode is just going to be called Feelings.
Exactly. And we just... I just like name a word, like config, and you're like... And then you just go off, like... Oh, I hate config files or something.
Do you know the philosophical concept of ethical emotivism?
Of course.
Okay,
I
good.
Don't at all. Just tell me.
Oh, ethical emotivism. It's kind of right there in the name, naming things, you know. But it's...
Hashtag.
Basically the idea that morality is not like a real thing. And when we say that something is good or evil,
yep.
What we're really saying is, like, if I say, like, sharing is good...
Yep.
Then what I'm saying really is like, hooray for sharing.
Yeah, I advocate for sharing.
And no, I'm not even advocating it. I'm just expressing a positive emotion about sharing.
Okay.
And when I say like, stealing is evil, what I'm really saying is like, boo, stealing.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's just like an interesting thing.
Well,
I think it applies
word?
Really well.
What is it?
Ethical emotivism.
Oh.
So anyway, I think it kind of applies well in like programming where like people like to make these like ethical things out of things because of their feelings.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I feel like we need to just be straight up about the feeling thing.
Feelings.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, all right. I'll be
good
seeing
episode.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.